turn to 1 John and chapter 4. Quite a well-known passage. I'll start reading at verse 7. So 1 John chapter 4, and then reading from verse 7. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. In this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. Herein is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. No man hath seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and his love is perfected in us. Hereby know we that we dwell in him, and he in us, because he hath given us of his Spirit. And we have seen and do testify that the Father sent the Son to be the Saviour of the world. Whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwelleth in him and he in God. And we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. God is love. And he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God and God in him. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. Because as he is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. We love him, because he first loved us. If a man say, I love God, and hateth his brother, he is a liar. For he that loveth not his brother, whom he hath seen, how can he love God, whom he hath not seen? And this commandment have we from him, that he who loveth God, love his brother also. Well, may God bless that reading of his word to our hearts. Amen. Reaching letter S in the alphabet to look at things that the scriptures say about the Lord Jesus Christ. It might have been a good idea if I just said, well, do Son of Man, and when you go home, I'll download the tapes from the start of the year to the present on Sunday evenings. That would have been an easy option, wouldn't it? But as I said on Sunday, we're going to look at Jesus as Saviour. And we read there in verse 14, the Father sent the Son to be the Saviour of the world. So God the Son, coming into this world and taking human flesh to be the Saviour, originates with the Father. And it's something that the Son willingly agrees with. And this verse, the national prejudice and exclusivism of Jews, is really shot to pieces. You see, the Jews thought that the promised Saviour that was going to come would be a Saviour of Jews only. But Christ came to be a Saviour of all in the world, Jew or Gentile, who believe upon him for salvation. John in his Gospel in chapter 4 makes clear again that Jesus isn't just the Saviour of the Jews, but Gentiles also. And there in chapter 4, many Samaritans that believed on the Lord Jesus Christ through the testimony of the woman that was saved by the well. And they say, we have heard him ourselves and know that this is indeed the Christ, the Saviour of the world. He's not the Saviour of the human race. That's made clear by Christ and by the scriptures. But he is the Saviour of everyone in the world, Jew or Gentile, who believes upon him. And one particular person, one particular sinner that the Lord Jesus Christ saved is his own mother, Mary. In Luke 1, verse 47, she says, my spirit hath rejoiced in God, my Saviour. She's rejoicing in the fact of what she's been told and what's happened. The one she has miraculously conceived and given birth to is the promised Messiah, the promised Saviour, who is going to save her from her sins. What a remarkable thing when you think about it. You know, some things are attributed to Mary that are just biblically nonsense, of course. But what an amazing thing that the very one that you bring into the world, give birth to, is the one that's going to save you from your sins. But she rejoices in God, her Saviour, at the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. The shepherds were keeping watch, as we know, well over the sheep at night, and suddenly the angel appears to them, and the glory of the Lord shines round about them, and not surprisingly, they're afraid. And the angel tells them to fear not, because they're bringing glad tidings of great joy for all people. And what was the glad tidings for everyone? Well, seeing all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, seeing everyone needs a Saviour, the news was that was born that day in the city of David a Saviour, which is Christ the Lord. The promised Messiah and the promised Saviour in the Old Testament had actually now come into the world. Jesus, born in Bethlehem, the Christ, the Messiah, the Lord, God the Son. And he'd been born into this world, we're told in Matthew's Gospel, to save his people from their sins. Those chosen by the Father and given to the Son to be saved by him, the one and only Saviour of sinners. The Church of the Lord Jesus Christ, every individual believing the Lord Jesus Christ, that's been saved through faith in Christ, that has Christ as their Saviour. Well, we have glad tidings, good news to tell all people. Because even though everyone has sinned and come short of the glory of God, and as a result, everyone is separated from Almighty God, and everyone deserves the righteous, just, eternal punishment of Almighty God, the good news we've got to tell people is the situation isn't hopeless. That's what ought to happen. That's what should happen. But we've got good news for people. God the Father sent his Son, the Lord Jesus, to be a Saviour of sinners like them, to save them from a life apart from God, to save them from God's righteous, eternal punishment in hell. That Saviour is Jesus, who was born in Bethlehem all those years ago. But how does he save sinners? Well, we know it only too well as Christians, because he took the same nature as us sinners, but without sin. And he went to the death of the cross, and he died for sins. He bore the penalty, the punishment, our sins against God deserve as believers in him, and rose again from the dead, showing he'd just done that, showing he'd made satisfaction for sins, showing that we can be forgiven all our sins on faith in him. It says in Acts chapter 5, the God of our Father raised up Jesus, whom you slew and hanged upon a tree. Him hath God exalted with his right hand to be a prince and a saviour. And this saviour that God had promised to send years and years before, he made very clear would be descended from David. And in Acts 13 verse 23 it says, of this man's seed, talking about David, hath God according to his promise raised unto Israel a saviour, Jesus. You see, fallen sinners can't save themselves. We as sinners against God couldn't save ourselves. There was nothing we could do to save us. No religious observance, no religious works, nothing we could do to save ourselves from a life apart from God and from an eternity under God's righteous punishment. The only one who can save a sinner is the Lord Jesus Christ. And we have been saved, every sinner who is saved, it's salvation by faith in the person and work of the only Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ. We're told in 1 Timothy 1, God has called us, not according to our works, according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began, but now is made manifest by the appearing of our Saviour, Jesus Christ. It's not by our works, it's by faith in the Saviour who appeared and came. And Paul, when he writes to Titus, in just his opening greeting, which is less common, he says his normal things. He says, grace, mercy and peace from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. But he adds, which he doesn't in many of the greetings, from the Lord Jesus Christ, our Saviour. Now, while it's God, Father, Son and Holy Spirit who saves us guilty sinners, while it's the Father who sends the Son to be the Saviour, while it's the Holy Spirit who convicts us of our sin and draws us to faith in the Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ, one of the reasons why so often Jesus himself, the Son, is called the Saviour is because in the plan and purpose of God, it was the person of God the Son who took our nature and without sin died for our sins and rose again and is the Saviour of everybody who believes upon him. Paul speaks again of Jesus as our Saviour in Titus. He says, not by works, but by God's mercy we're saved, by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost, which is shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ, our Saviour. And everyone saved by the one and only Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ, we have the responsibility here and now to become more like the one who is our Saviour. Peter in 2 Peter 3 says, grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ. So we're to grow in grace and in the knowledge of the one who is our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. All those who know Jesus as their Saviour should be looking forward to the coming again of our Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ. Because just as the Father sent the Son to be the Saviour, and he came into this world and was born in Bethlehem all those years ago, so the Scriptures, God the Son himself, the Saviour of sinners, tells us he's going to come again. And everyone he saved will be raised with bodies like his glorious body. And everyone who's been saved by him, the one and only Saviour, they'll all be together forever with the Lord. But all those who don't know him as Saviour, they'll be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power. Paul reminds the believers in Philippi and us as believers that our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ. If we profess Christ as our Saviour, then we should be looking forward to, anticipating the coming again of our Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ. We're reminded we should be looking for his coming again, his appearing. And in the light of that fact, here and now, we should be seeking to grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. You could turn to it, if you turn to Titus chapter 2. Paul puts this together, really, that we should be looking for the coming again of our Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ, and therefore living in the light of that godly, holy lives. So Titus chapter 2, I'll read verses 12 to 14. Teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Saviour, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. So Jesus, our Savior, he was going to come again in power and great glory. That's the blessed hope of all who have Christ as their Savior. He hasn't just saved us from the consequences of our sins. He has saved us, as we see in those verses, to live godly, holy lives in Christ Jesus. And if we really believe he's going to come again in the light of that, to come again of our Savior, it should stir us up and promote us to live godly lives, denying worldly lust and what all it says there in verse 12, remembering he gave himself for us to redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. The way to be prepared for his coming again is by seeking to be more and more like him day by day, who gave himself for us to save us from our sins. The most wonderful thing in life is to be able to say, and it's really true, Jesus Christ is my Savior. What a blessing that is.